Life, culture, and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 on Vision.
Just imagine going to church where the sanctuary behind the preacher suddenly morphs into biblical locations, where worshippers confront the burning bush at the same time as it's being preached about, and where converts can be baptized without being physically present. Well, for one pastor, that's the church of now, not a church of the future. It's called Virtual Reality Church, and its members, they're avatars. They're gathering for Sundays to worship, and its pastor emphasizes that you can experience God and Scripture in ways that he says are impossible in physical church buildings. Well, a different conversation today, as I say, about church in virtual reality. So it's not just pews and a screen and a pulpit. According to the founding pastor, DJ Soto, it's a three-dimensional cyberspace congregation with a global fellowship. Pastor DJ Soto is the founder and leader of Virtual Reality Church, and he is joining us on the line from the United States. DJ Soto, welcome along to 2020.
Oh, thank you so much for having us. It's a pleasure to be here.
DJ, you describe yourself as a kind of a techie nerd. Do you have to be that to start a virtual reality church?
I don't think so. You know, I don't know coding. I don't know animation or things like that. So I just have an entrepreneurial spirit, and I tap into the resources and tools that are available to me and tap into people that do know coding and animation and 3D modeling. So, I don't think you have to be highly technical. Just the audacity just to try something new, I think, is all that's needed.
Now, you held your first church service in virtual reality in 2016. And as I understand it, five people came to the first church service. What's it like? Well, what was it like then, and how have things begun to develop since then?
Yeah, so in a nutshell, you know, the virtual reality headsets is such a brand new technology. And those came out, and like you said, I'm a tech nerd, so I was like, I need to get one of these VR headsets. And I loved it. It was fun playing the games and getting involved with the 360 movies, and it was a lot of fun. And then the social spaces, social platforms started coming out for virtual reality, and I've never experienced anything like it. So for people that haven't tried it, I say it's kind of like the Facebook of virtual reality, where you add friends. You can play games, but it's all in this immersive environment. And the other thing I tell people is it's hard to explain. It's kind of like the Matrix movie where Morpheus tells Neo, you can't explain what the Matrix is. You have to experience it for yourself. And that's the same thing. We tell our friends, we try to explain it. But when they actually experience it and put the headset on, man, the light bulb comes on. People are amazed. They're just like, I didn't expect this. I didn't expect this level of immersion. So when AltSpace VR came out, it's that social platform we use, that was on a Friday, summer of 2016. So I'm in there, I'm chatting with people all across the world and just having a great conversations. And then I noticed you can create your own virtual space. So I tried that out. I saw that you can create your own screen where you could put your own slides and videos. And you know, I was only about 1 hour into playing around with this social platform in virtual reality. And I thought to myself, oh, we need to have a church service in VR. And that was on a Friday. And then on Sunday, that was like 2 days later, I had my first church service. I threw out some graphics on social media. I invited whoever, you know, not many people had VR, but I just invited whoever would do it. And I had my first service. We had worship music. We had a sermon. And five people came, and I was excited. I mean, for me, you know, maybe other church planners would be kind of depressed if five people showed up to their first church service. But for me, I was just so excited because I saw the potential, I saw the possibility. And my first visitor, and this is interesting, my first visitor was an atheist from Denmark. And he said, you know, I don't believe in God, but I was really curious to see what this is all about. And so we've had many, many atheists and agnostics come to our virtual reality church service because they're curious. They're like, hey, what's church in VR? We want to see what it's all about. And that's kind of how it got started. It kind of started as an experiment. Like, is church, the question we had was, is church viable in VR? And we came quickly to the conclusion that, yes, this is a very compelling experience.
Now, it doesn't come without some controversial issues. And I'll invite listeners to call in, and you might have your own thoughts. But this idea of creating an avatar, and for those of us who've seen the movie Avatar, you've got a general idea what that means, creating an online personality in some sense, which you design, no doubt, and then that becomes your entry into church. So that could be controversial, and I'll invite listeners to call in and give us your impressions about that. And the other thing that could be controversial too is the idea of being baptized in virtual reality, because there's a certain sense, some people will say, well, Jesus has told us how to be baptized, and you know, we might argue about full immersion or the idea of you know, sprinkling that happens in some churches. And so just interesting to hear from listeners today, and I'll get your impressions if listeners call through and they're concerned about some of those things. But let me just ask you about virtual reality goggles, because just by some coincidence, one of the staff, it was Steve McKenna upstairs, for listeners who'll know that name, Steve McKenna, happened to bring in his virtual reality goggles yesterday into the office. And really, it was the first time I'd put some on, and of course, he was able to use those by way of setting up his mobile phone into the goggles. How do you describe the goggles? Because there's different levels of virtual reality goggles. What sort do you need, a special sort to get into yours, DJ?
So Altspace is a pretty widely accessible platform. So the two high-end ones are the Oculus Rift and the HTC Vive. These ones are high resolution, and they take a pretty powerful computer to run. I mean, not super powerful, but you need a good graphics card. But with that, you get a very detailed, photorealistic experience. There's also mobile versions that are called the Samsung Gear VR. So if you have a Samsung phone, you can put that in this mobile version. And it still actually looks really good. It's not necessarily the high resolution of a Oculus Rift or a Vive, but it's still pretty good. And actually, probably most of our people that attend in VR attend through a mobile Samsung headset. Or there's also the Google Daydream. The Google Daydream is also one that is a mobile headset that people come and use. So I'd say roughly about 50% of our people are mobile VR users. So and Oculus is coming out with some standalones. So that means you're not going to need a powerful computer. You're not going to need a phone. It's just a VR headset. So that's coming out, I think, in May. And I think that's going to be a new thing that's going to help VR become accessible to the public.
Okay, so the high-resolution goggles are the best, but where you get virtual reality goggles available in mobile versions that you can use your Samsung mobile phone on, those are going to be the least expensive, because you're actually just using the phone to set in place the image that you'll see when you've got the goggles attached. And some of those mobile ones, they're not that expensive, as I understand it. So far, the high-resolution one's going to be quite expensive, but these other mobile ones, pretty inexpensive.
I think they run anywhere between, the high-end ones run between like $400 to $800, depending on what package you get. But then again, you also need a good computer to run that. The mobile headsets are only maybe like $100, but you do need a Samsung phone. And then the other thing is, you know, there's a lot of knockoffs. Maybe at like an airport kiosk, you'll see some VR headsets. Come grab these. And those kind of give you the fundamental idea of VR, but they're not, it's not that higher immersive level that you would get, even one of the portable ones. So, I think those are great and those are fun. They have little apps that you can play and get the idea of VR, but those, like, you know, if you see like a $20 or $30 one at an airport kiosk, those are fine, but it's probably not powerful enough to run like a realistic environment that VR Church would be like.
Okay, so you go with the best ones you can afford, I think is what you're saying here. Now listen, take us into something of this virtual world in which you can run church. As I understand it, during a sermon about Jesus walking on the water, worshippers watching through virtual reality goggles can be transported to the disciples' boat to witness Jesus' miracle firsthand walking on the water and the potential there for maybe even joining him out on the water. So you can be like Peter and getting out of the boat to walk on the water with Jesus. I mean, this is the sort of thing that you have got in your library of content. Describe how that sort of thing it impacts people when they have the opportunity to immerse themselves in that virtual reality, DJ.
Yeah, it's quite amazing, the potential. Really, the imagination is unlimited about the things that you can do in VR. So we have like our vanilla version is what we call it. It's our base building. It looks like a modern church with glass and pews and a screen. But we have, you know, strong plans to create specific environments. So one thing that we're working on is, like you mentioned, when we're talking about Jesus walking on the water, we're actually on the boat, and maybe we have a replica of Jesus or some type of animated experience that people are going to be inside the story. So, you know, we've read these stories throughout the years. We've seen them on screen or maybe on a movie, but now what's going to happen in VR is that you're going to be fully immersed. So when we talk about Moses and the Red Sea, you're walking through the Red Sea and you look up and see the walls of water. Or if we're talking about Noah and the Ark, we're walking around the Ark and looking at the animals. So virtual reality church is going to evolve into this amazing experience where we experience the Bible like we never have in history before. This is a very unique thing, and it's going to be quite exciting to see where the imagination goes, because it really is unlimited.
Undoubtedly, we'll get into talking about some of the ways that real church kicks in here by way of Q&A sessions and opportunities for bringing messages and counseling and discipleship. But your very first member, as you mentioned, was an atheist from Denmark. When you've got this sort of virtual reality church, no doubt it's an attractive thing for anyone who might be interested in the technological side of what you might be doing. And so people who might not have a church background, might not have a belief in Christ, they are going to be equally attracted into the sorts of technology that you're going to be bringing there. And there's a real outreach opportunity here, DJ.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, like I mentioned before, we haven't done strict or scientific polling or surveying, but just getting the sense from conversations, many people don't believe in God. They're atheists, they're agnostics, or at the very least, they haven't been to church in decades. So I think that many people are still have that spirit inside them that's searching for answers, that's searching for a relationship with God, but maybe they're not going to take the step to go to a physical church. And frankly, many of the church experiences I hear people talk about are very challenging ones, where they feel judged or they feel like they need to have it all together. So whatever is crying out inside them, they feel comfortable to come to virtual reality. It's just a couple of clicks, and they pop right into the environment. And then the culture that we set with that, because the amazing thing about VR church is not just the innovative use of technology, it's also the culture and the vernacular and the spirit that we've created that says all people are welcome. Whether you believe in God or not, you're welcome to be a part of this conversation of faith, and we encourage that. So I think those people that may be hesitant to visit a physical church feel very comfortable putting on virtual reality and transporting themselves to virtual reality church to experience conversations of faith. And we're just having amazing conversations. It really is just something very special that I've never experienced before. And, you know, I've been in ministry in some form or fashion for over 20 years, small churches, big churches, modern, traditional. So this is something I've never experienced, the level of conversations that we have. So it's quite exciting.
And let's talk about your background for a few moments here, because as listeners are hearing about the excitement of the technology in a virtual reality church, some will be saying, well, I wonder whether that fits with my flavour of Christianity. And some people who come from a more traditional church background have a different expectation from church. Your background, Baptist and Pentecostal. How do you describe yourself in that mix, DJ?
Yeah, it's a lot of people, when we have this conversation, kind of laugh about going from Baptist to Pentecostal to all these different things that I've been exposed to. And so a lot of my theology in seminary was at a Baptist college, and then I was credentialed under a Pentecostal organization, the Assemblies of God, and then now I'm kind of doing a non-denominational, independent type of work. So I think that, you could probably describe us as conservative theology that's progressively expressed. And so we hold to the traditions of faith and of orthodoxy, but we also believe that it needs to be done in new ways, expressed in new ways through new methods. And so maybe the message does not change, but the methods do. And we honor the things that were done in the past, but we don't want to necessarily live there. Let's try some new things and new ways to reach people, to have conversations of faith. And really, the core of it, you kind of strip away the technology and the virtual reality of it all. The core of it is that we want to take church to where people are at. So where are people gathering? We want to have conversations of faith there. So is that social media? Is that over here at this physical location? And then in our sense, we saw people are gathering in virtual reality. Let's have a faith experience there. So at the core, when you boil it down, is let's take church to the people. And so that's kind of a core value that we have.
Life, culture, and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 on Vision.
We're taking calls on 1-800-316-316. You can join into our conversation. We're talking with the founder of Virtual Reality Church, Pastor DJ Soto is our guest. And DJ, why don't we take a call? One listener, Joseph, sure, in Blacktown in Sydney, has been waiting patiently. Hello, Joseph. Welcome along.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Joseph, what are your thoughts?
Oh, my thoughts are it's an interesting concept, and it probably has some merit in some areas, possibly even as a learning tool, a teaching tool. But we're at a small hospital church in Blacktown. I call us a hospital church because we get drug affected people, alcohol affected people, broken lives, and the challenge is to love and encourage these people, get involved with them, and just to love and encourage them and lead them to Christ. And I just can't see how you can do that in cyberspace. You know, being a real boots on the ground Christian is really what we're called to do, rather than doing everything by remote control and insulated for a wonderful experience.
Joseph, good
really
thoughts
need
in
to
there.
Get involved with our community and really help and support our community and show them the love of Christ. And that means getting involved with people's lives. And it's sometimes messy and it's sometimes difficult, but that's the challenge.
It is a good thought. And you've identified one of the possible limitations of a virtual reality church. DJ Soto, for Joseph, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. And man, I really appreciate that question and those thoughts. Very, very valuable. The one thing that we've experienced, though, on the virtual reality side, is that because of people's avatar, there's a sense of anonymity, which seems bad at first. But with that anonymity comes deep authenticity. So we're having deep conversations right off the bat that I don't know that we would have in a physical church. I mean, maybe we would have it, or maybe it would take a long time to get there. But I'm meeting people in seconds or in minutes. We're talking about suicide and depression and addictions. And I actually had a friend with me who was listening. He was kind of observing our church as I was leading one of the services, and someone went right to suicide. And he was blown away. He was like, are they just seriously just talking about suicide like right now? So I think that these conversations are happening at such a deep and fast level. And like I mentioned before, I don't think I've ever had that in church before, where people are quick to be authentic. And it is that avatar. It is that anonymity. But it really kind of gets to the heart of the matter oftentimes. And, you know, it's not just a Sunday service. Throughout the week, we use a platform called Discord. A lot of gamers use that for their crew or for their clan or their guild, and we use that for virtual reality church. So we stay connected, and we're chatting. We have a prayer channel where people leave prayer requests. And so there's a high level of connectivity that's going on through the immersive experience and then through the Discord. But, you know, and that's just from my experience. My point of view is man, conversations are so super deep and super authentic.
Okay, well, thank you so much to Joseph in Blacktown in Sydney, because it was a good and relevant point, and it might identify a weakness in virtual reality church. Of course, there are other strengths too that we'll no doubt be highlighting over this coming time. Joseph, thanks so much for joining us today on 2020. We're taking calls, 1-800-316-316. Let's hear from Gail in Blackhead, just south of Port Macquarie in New South Wales. Hello, Gail. Welcome along.
Hello.
Gail,
can you hear me okay?
I can hear you perfectly. Yep. What are your thoughts today?
Well, my thoughts are, and I've just been looking at Kings this morning, and I was talking about how we're moving with the times. Because Vision Radio's got the Bible app, and I listen to the Bible, you know, so I listen to the Bible in a year because of the of what's available there on the Vision app. And I just am entrenched in what we can do today. Now, this is another huge step further. But what I would, and this is really just a question, certainly not a criticism, but it's just everything being looked at from all angles. So, necronism, I don't know if I've got that wrong, but it seems like it's very similar to Dungeons and Dragons. And one of the kings did everything. And I listened this morning because I can't remember his name. But when it's, you know, so many did, you know, sinned in the sight of the Lord again and again and again. But this other king, that he included necronism. And when I looked it up, all I could sort of really sum up in my own mind is that it is like Dungeons and Dragons, where you take on an entity, which it seems to be that you do. And I'm really hoping this just gets cleared up, because I can hear that it's such a wonderful outreach. But is there a danger in taking some other personality on?
Okay, well, it's an interesting thought and comment. I'm not sure everyone will follow everything you're talking about there, but to bring DJ into this, this idea of having an avatar and a little bit along the lines, and I'm not sure even an alignment with a church service to the idea of the gaming program of Dungeons and Dragons, which we might all have some real concerns about. But DJ, your thoughts for our listener about the sorts of things that she's concerned about.
Yeah, I think like anything, when you engage with media or technology, I feel like technology is neutral. It's depending on how it's used, that it can be good or bad. So the internet can be a great thing, or it can be a bad thing with sexuality and porn. It could be a great thing with, a Bible app. So I think virtual reality is the same thing. It's a neutral technology. How's it going to be used? So yes, there is going to be your virtual reality porn. There is going to be that that Dungeons and Dragons that you were talking about. But on the flip side, there's some positive things that can be done with that. And a broader conversation is, you know, education or medicine or tourism. And in our case, it's spirituality. And that was really one of the motivating factors. There are several, but one was when we went into virtual reality and we saw all these games and movies and experiences, there wasn't a single faith element, not an app that said, you know, the Bible verse of the day or, anything like that. And so what motivated us is, like, we need to infuse faith in this new technology. And I think that's what the energy that kind of created some of that. And actually, I have a friend, a dear friend in Australia. He's a developer, and he created one of the first apps, the virtual reality Bible, the first VR Bible to exist in VR. And, imagine reading Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, but you're standing in a shepherd's field, and you're looking around, and there's music, and you're reading the scripture in the sky. So this dear friend from Australia, he created the first VR Bible, and that's available to download. And he was actually very instrumental. He was one of the people that helped establish Virtual Reality Church. So you see this energy that is going into this space, because we don't want the church to be last, which I feel, at least on the American side, we're kind of late to the game, whether it's movies or video games or, you know, social media or apps. You know, we come late to those things because we're hesitant about the technology. And I think our team was like, no, let's get in there and be a light and be a positive word, and let's have an alternative to those things that are out there that might be a detriment to people's lives.
Thank you so much, Gail. Great input coming on calls. 1-800-316-316. If you'd like to join in our conversation, we're talking about virtual reality church, and an education for me, knowing that there's Aussies who are involved in virtual reality Bibles, and that's a contributor to the virtual reality church that our guest is operating today. We're taking calls. 1-800-316-316. Just a couple of minutes out from news, let's hear from Sheila in Seaford in Victoria. Hello, Sheila. Welcome along.
Oh, hi. Thanks. First of all, I'd like to say that I really, really think that anything to do with media which can bring people to know the Lord is absolutely amazing, because I got born again in Japan by watching a Good News TV Forces thing. And so I really feel that it's very powerful media. But one thing with this virtual reality, this thing of having like an avatar and that could be dangerous. So you'd have to be very careful how you did it. And the other thing is, as long as they can sort of lead people out of virtual reality, into really experiencing and being born again and then experiencing life in a church, I think.
Sheila, what a great comment. And we're just a minute out, so a short response from our guest DJ. But the idea of leading out of virtual reality into reality. Your thoughts, DJ?
Yeah, and I think that's the ultimate goal. For those that haven't visited church in a long time, that are scared and have some intrepidation, you know, our hope and vision is that as people attend VR, they experience God, they experience life, and then that helps them to go seek out maybe a physical church. A lot of people have been burned by church, and that's a real thing, a real issue that the church needs to come to grip with and to acknowledge. And so I don't think pastors or church leaders need to be afraid about people leading the church and going into VR, because I think at the end of the day, they're both going to be side by side helping each other.
About to go to news. Thank you so much to Sheila, and I'll have to cut across here. Pastor DJ Soto, our guest, leader of Virtual Reality Church. We're back with more after news. DJ, before we take any more calls, let's come back to some of these negatives that some of our listeners have raised, and we know that there's a balance. On balance, there's lots and lots of positives about having a virtual reality church. Some of those negatives, some people have raised concerns about an avatar, becoming a created avatar to attend church. There was the other issue about being baptized in virtual reality. Is that a possibility? And isn't there a biblical way to do baptism? And there's also this idea not being a replacement for getting alongside people who are, in fact, in the real tragedies of life, drug addiction or the need for personal support as they're going through things. Let's talk about maybe just one of those before we take some more calls. But this avatar idea, that's quite controversial, isn't it? How do you describe to people the value of having the avatar and compare that to some of the negatives that people talk about?
Yeah, I've had some pastor friends that have, you know, really questioned that. Do they feel like, won't people be fake? Won't they change their identity? Won't they alter who they are? And actually, it's quite the opposite. Because of the avatar, people feel comfortable to be authentic. And on the flip side, I think sometimes in the physical church, we already have an avatar. We already have this projected self that we're portraying. And it's difficult in church, and hopefully churches are accepting and helping people, but sometimes churches, you know, there's a judgmentalism, and you need to have your stuff together. So people already come with an avatar in place that projects their best self. So, I think in VR that can happen as well. But also what we've experienced, though, is really, really authentic conversations.
Okay, let me ask what might be an obvious question. Can you attend church to check out what you're doing without creating an avatar? Can you be the person who's sitting in the back row or the fly on the wall who's just checking out things? Is that a possibility?
You have to create some form of an avatar. So, we had a guy that, you know, he didn't have full VR equipment. He was trying it on his computer, and so he would just kind of plant himself. It was almost like a camera, but there was still some physical or a digital representation of him. But there isn't necessarily a feature where you're like a fly on the wall type of thing. You know, that might come in the future, but right now you have to have some form of a digital representation or an avatar.
Okay, let's come to one of these other controversies, and I want to invite listeners, our talkback line open on 1-800-316-316 for your thoughts on some of the positives and the negatives about virtual reality church. We were talking about, can you be baptized in virtual reality? Because we'd understand that baptism is it's a sign that you are a transformed life, going through the waters of baptism, almost, you know, just identifying with Christ, dying and rising from the dead, resurrection life. There's some wonderful messages in baptism. Can you be baptized in virtual reality? What are the sorts of things that people talk to you about that and your response?
You know, we have elders that lead virtual reality church, and we've had many discussions on that. We've kind of gone back and forth because it's such a new thing, and we wanted to go slowly on that topic. But after many, many conversations, we came to the conclusion that, yes, we would feel comfortable having a virtual reality baptism. A couple key thoughts that sparked that was one of the people that attended briefly was a quadriplegic from Los Angeles. And he can't leave his room at all. He's very unmobile, very stationary. And if he wanted to get baptized, I think it would be difficult for me to say, no, sorry, you need to figure out a way how to get to, the river or a lake and that we can baptize you. No, I couldn't come to – we came to the conclusion that, yes, we would baptize you absolutely, because I think it's the symbolic representation of what it expresses, of identifying with Christ and our love for Christ and our faith. And so to do that virtually, I think, accomplishes, you know, the spirit of what baptism is all about.
And just to recap where we were talking a little earlier, and one of our callers mentioned the idea of getting alongside people who are going through drug addictions and all sorts of personal challenges that they might be facing, and the need for that pastoral care. This can happen best in a physical church, a local church, where people are relating to real people. And this is perhaps one of the weaknesses of a virtual reality church, and yet there are still opportunities in a virtual reality setting to be able to speak into people's lives who are going through those things.
Yeah, that's true. There are challenges, you know, of meeting face to face. You know, that's, you know, you're having those interactions. But I think it really comes down to, is the person being authentic? Because physically you can be together, but if they haven't felt comfortable to talk with an individual or to talk about their addiction or their depression or their mental health, so it doesn't matter if they're physical or virtual. If we haven't broken through that trust and that love that person needs, then it doesn't matter if it's physical or virtual, we have a trust issue. So I think it can be accomplished, and meeting with people and encouraging people in virtual reality is very effective. And I think once people put the headsets on, the light bulb comes on, and they see the environments, they see avatars talking with them, gesturing. You know, when people see me in VR, they see my hands raised, and they see my head turned. So you're this living, breathing entity. There are challenges, and I think that just has to do with, you know, keeping the relationship strong, whether it's virtual or whether it's physical.
Let me reflect a couple of Facebook comments from Carolyn, who says, yes, a virtual church and baptism is just as meaningful as a real church and baptism, because research has shown through brain imaging technology that the same activity occurs in the human brain while imagining or rehearsing an event as while doing the action physically. Doesn't necessarily have the same public demonstration of faith, but there is a certain sense in which that could be true for some people.
Yeah, and that's actually a very, very good point they mentioned. You know, if you look on YouTube or Facebook, there's hilarious videos of people like screaming or ripping off the VR headset or, you know, falling over because the immersion is so real. It takes over the senses. You know, the brain is almost, in a sense, you know, tricked in one sense, you know, visually, and then the audio, and then your brain feels like you're in that environment. So I think that's absolutely true, that even in a VR setting, when you're baptized or when you're having conversations, the brain feels like it's there. You feel like you're in that environment. You feel like the person's next to you. You know, there's a pond in one of the environments, and when you go under the water, it feels like you're underwater. Just your brain has to take a second to think, okay, I'm not actually, you know, drowning, but I'm underwater. So I think that's a great point about how the brain is affected through these virtual experiences.
Another Facebook comment from Ursula, who believes that technology and visual aids can be helpful for learning, but could lead to isolation. And it removes the personal relationship building possibilities. Could it also remove the danger for believers in sharing their faith, which is part and parcel of the Christian life? Now, there's a deep one there, because if it gets to a point in some countries where it's dangerous to be able to share their faith, certainly that danger is taken away if you're sharing your faith in a virtual world. Your thoughts on isolation and the capacity that people will have if there is a danger?
Yeah, I think that's a valid concern, and I think that even goes beyond virtual reality. You think of video games or Netflix binging or all this, radio, television, internet. There's so many things that could cause isolation. Social networking, you know, there's a lot of conversations about how we're more connected than ever, but we're more lonely than ever. So I think there's all these technologies that can cause isolation. And yes, I think virtual reality could be one of those. And I think it just takes maturity and education to really help people to disconnect from these digital elements, all of them, and to engage in the physical. And it's tough because there's so many digital things to connect with, so many virtual things to play around with. So I think that definitely is a challenge, and isolation could be a problem. And I think that needs to be part of the vernacular in VR, in virtual reality churches, that this is a tool, this is an experience, but let's get out and meet people in real life and connect with physical churches and connect with pastors and other Christians. I think that's an important message, and I don't think it's just related to virtual reality.
That's right, and it's not a replacement for your real life. Let's take a call. Chris is in Victoria. Hello, Chris. Welcome along.
Good day, Neil. Just a couple of points for and against. We know Jesus is reality and Satan's an imposter, so that's virtual reality. And you know, many believe that the image of the beast will be a hologram posted all over the world that people will have to bow down. So, you know, if there's a rapture, then many people, any Christians that are left behind, will, you know, they're suspect to believing that sort of stuff. But having said that, you know, most teenagers, most young people in the world today are involved in all this sort of stuff. And if it's a good outreach and it reaches the people and gets them truly saved, well, what the devil means for, you know, evil, God can use for good. So, you know, it has its both points, yeah.
Okay, DJ, a response for Chris in Victoria.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point, where the younger generation, the teenagers, are very much into video games. My children are into video games and digital and social media, and we do a lot of effort to try to get them off those things. But I think you're right. It's, you know, there's kids involved in all this technology, and certainly as virtual reality becomes more accessible and more mainstream and less expensive to get into, I think there is a younger generation that's going to embrace it at a high level. And so we want to have those conversations. We want to be there for those young people. And, you know, I met a kid from Boston, Massachusetts. He was 17 years old. He'd never been to church in his life. And in the first 2 minutes, we were talking about how he struggles with depression. So, I mean, there's all these experiences that I would love to, and maybe we need to write a small book or story about all these things that we're experiencing, so people realize, oh, wow, you know, this is reaching people that, you know, may have never stepped a foot in church. So I think that's some great points.
Visions 2020 with Neil Johnson. A biblical perspective on life, culture, and current events.
We're talking technology and the intersection of where that technology is in relation to faith and church. And we've been discussing virtual reality church. The pastor, DJ Soto, on the line with us from the United States today. DJ, let's take another call or two very quickly. Let's hear from Michelle in Newport Headland in WA in Western Australia. Hello, Michelle. Welcome along.
Good morning. How are you going?
Very well, Michelle. What are your thoughts quickly?
Well, very quickly, I've got a couple. One of them is you will know them by their fruit. The other one is I am the God of yesterday, today and tomorrow. And that just makes me feel like this virtual reality, although it may seem very strange to us right now, is something that's in the future. So not necessarily a bad thing. And the only other thought is just to be aware of the wolf in sheep's clothing. So if people wanted to just take all of those things and make their own mind up, I actually think that if this is a concept that can bring people to God that would otherwise not get there, it can't be that bad.
Wow. Michelle, thank you so much for your call from Newport Headland in WA. And I'll hold off a comment from DJ. Let's take one more call. Tris is on the line from South Australia. Hello, Tris. Welcome along.
I'm just thinking that this new system of virtual reality, I'm from the old school of Bible school where you lived in and you had personal contact, but now Bible school's gone right across the world with technology and people are studying the Bible all over the world who wouldn't before, and I think this sounds the same thing.
Well, Tris, yes?
It's just another way of looking at how God gets the gospel out.
A new development, possible dangers, some things to be cautious about, but yes, it is a whole new possibility. Your thoughts, DJ, on Tris or even Michelle's comment from just a moment ago?
Yes, thank you, Michelle, and thank you, Chris, for the encouragement. And yes, our God is an innovative God. He's a creative God. He's a God of the future. Yes, yesterday, today, and then forever. He's in the future. He has an innovative spark that we kind of bear that image of. So, I really appreciate the encouragement. And as a matter of fact, we do face a lot of negative responses. It's been hard to raise support because people are confused or don't take it seriously or feel like it's a threat. So we're kind of in the middle of the story. This story isn't finished. We're in the middle of building this and the challenges that we're facing to raise support and to bring awareness to church leaders. So, anybody that's encouraging like that, like the last two callers, we just are really, really appreciative.
Thank you so much to Tris from South Australia. And time is running out, just a minute or two or three remaining in our conversation. There's a new movie that's about to be released. Interesting that we're having this conversation at this time because Steven Spielberg's latest movie called Ready Player One is about to hit cinemas in the United States and no doubt here in Australia too. It's all about virtual reality. What are your thoughts on that movie, DJ?
Oh yeah, I'm really excited about the movie. My kids are excited too. We read the book, and Steven Spielberg is coming out with the movie. And actually today we were in Hollywood, California today for a Ready Player One event. It was called the Ready Player One Challenge. And you walked around some of the movie set and it was like a little bit of a maze. But yeah, I think this movie is going to be very important, not just on the entertainment side of things, but the global consciousness of virtual reality I think is going to go up a notch or two. Because, we kind of know that VR is here, but now you have a movie that's solely dedicated about virtual reality. So I think it's going to be significant. I think it's going to really bring awareness, and I think it's also going to help the church in virtual reality.
And, of course, just hearkening back to your thoughts about the virtual reality Bible and the origination of that coming from our shores here in Australia. When we talk about the Bible, and as one of our listeners, I think it was Michelle or was it Tris, who mentioned, the Bible going all around the world, people picking it up in different platforms to be able to study it. Virtual reality Bible is one of those new levels that will help people be introduced to the timeless stories and the message of the Bible.
Yeah, and actually it's an amazing app. My friend Alistair from Australia developed this app. The first first Bible in virtual reality. And like I mentioned before, imagine reading Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, while standing in a shepherd's field. And he could read the whole Bible, and he has music involved in it. And I think this is significant because ultimately we want people to get involved in the scriptures, and we want to find innovative ways for people to engage the Bible. And I think this is one of the ways that they can. And so, I'm really excited about it. It's on the Oculus Store. People can download that, read the Bible. And it really, you know, when you think of all the distractions when you try to read the Bible or, you know, things going on, just kind of put yourself in a VR headset and the distractions go away and you're solely focused in on the word and the music and the environment. It's actually a very amazing devotional experience.
Well, one last Facebook comment from Karen, who wishes this had been available 10 or 15 years ago when she was suffering from depression. She was in a real church but felt unsupported. Being online gave her the opportunity to connect with others and receive prayer as she needed it. She sees virtual reality church as a very positive thing. And no doubt, on the balance of some of the weaknesses and some of the inadequacies that happen because of an online environment, others will see the balance of all the positives that can come by way of the Bible coming to life, by way of the interactions that you can have with a global get-together for church, and all of the other positives that we've seen and we've been hearing about this past hour. Let me point people to how they can have their own experience of virtual reality church. A website to go to, and as I understand it, and I'll just get a quick comment from you, DJ, we're running out of time, but vrchurch.com or Facebook Virtual Reality Church. There's a few little things you've got to go through before you can get online to do this, and not only having the virtual reality goggles as well, but a few things you've got to do. Just quickly, the sorts of things that people ought to do if they want to participate.
Yeah, so, you know, once you get a VR headset, the Oculus, the HTC Vive, or the Gear VR, Google Daydream, the social platform that we use is called AltSpace VR. And that's what you want to sign up an account with, and you can just pop right into our church experience. And, it's amazing. You're gonna love it. You're gonna be surprised when you first pop in because, there's nothing in the world like it. And it's exciting. There's a fun element to it, but there's also a deep spiritual element to experiencing church in virtual reality.
Pastor DJ Soto, the founder and leader of Virtual Reality Church, vrchurch.com. Also on Facebook, Virtual Reality Church. DJ, thanks so much for taking some time to share your thoughts and your heart with us today on 2020.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Before you go, thanks for listening.
There's lots more great audio on demand, or you can listen to us live at visionradio.org.au.
And remember, Vision is listener supported. Your donation,
large or small,
will help us continue connecting faith to life for hundreds of thousands of people across Australia and around the world.
Learn more or donate today at visionradio.org.au.